I'm home in Yeshua. This is Ravine Deborah, and I'm doing a short series on intercessory prayer, spiritual warfare, the authority of the believer, and how to prepare the ground for when we share our faith with others or for whatever we're doing. How this came about was we were discussing it on Shabbat. And people had some questions about, trying to share the word with people. But, a lot of times people have a religious spirit that's they won't receive what the word said because they're so caught up in their traditions of that religion that they don't want to listen to what the word says. Somebody else had a question about, okay, how do we take authority over Satan? What's the correct verbiage to use? The Ruach put it on my heart to actually do a series. So again, we see how we need to prepare the ground through intercession as we go forward and sharing our faith with people. And again, it's about spiritual warfare and using the authority the Father has given us in Yeshua's name. And it's interesting how this came about because I was invited to an intercessory prayer group of Spirit-filled Messianic Jewish women who are all prayer warriors, have ministries. And this one woman contacted me, and I was just really blessed and just felt like, again, the power of God. Actually, they were praying for 12 hours, but I only logged in for 4 hours because of Shabbat service and having to rest. So I wouldn't, I'd be awake when it was my turn to pray at 12. And it just really, when I just was listening to this woman and they're praying and their zeal in their prayers, and it just really blessed me, and just show me how, again, important it is that we connect with other intercessors as well. Again, especially, for me, I mean, the Father knew that that was a need I had to connect with other women leaders as well who were interceding, again, not just for themselves, but for others, because intercession is always on behalf of others. So I had attended an intercessory prayer class. It was like a 6-week class on intercession, and I still had the notes. So a lot of the information I'm sharing is actually from this seminar that I'm sharing with you. And what we're going to look at tonight is the biblical foundation for intercession. So I just want to open up just with an intro from this book. Definition, words, and their meanings. The first time we see the word intercession in the Bible is in Isaiah 53, verse 12. Okay, so again, the first time we see the word intercession, again, the word intercession in the Bible is in Isaiah 53, 12. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for their transgressions. So we know this is speaking about Yeshua, our Messiah. Again, we see examples of intercessors in the Tanakh, on Abraham, Moshe, Daniel, Nehemiah. So we're going to look at them, but I just want to read something else again from this book. The Hebrew word for intercession is the word pagah, and it's a Strong's 6293. The general understanding from the Vines and Strong's dictionary has a twofold meaning that almost seems contradictory. However, it shows the two main aspects of intercession. The Vines dictionary has the Greek, again, the Greek meaning of intercession, to collide with, to encroach upon, to drive in, to strike up against, to be violent against. The Strong's dictionary refers to this Greek word as to invade, to come in between, to entreat, to meet together, intercession, or to pray and to be a peacemaker. And the word study actually brings out again the same meaning by a primitive root to impinge by accident or violence, or figuratively by importunity, come between, cause to entreat, fall upon, make intercession, intercessor, entreat, lay, light upon, or meet together, pray, reach, or run. Here we see the two main actions of intercession. The first part is warfare, facing HaSatan in the name of Yeshua on behalf of the person you pray for. So again, intercession, you are standing in the gap for somebody else. The second part is travail, facing the Father on behalf of the person through weeping, prayer, and pleading as if you were for that person. I just want to pull up these scriptures, and we can see examples again in the lives of the great leaders in the Bible, in the Tanakh. So first we're looking at Abraham, Genesis 18:22. And here again, in context, you know, he is interceding for the righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the two men, referring to the angels, if you go in context, turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came close and said, "Will you destroy the righteous, those upright and standing with God, together with the wicked?" Again, I'm going to be reading the Amplified Bible for some of these scripture verses as well, because it brings out more of the fuller meaning of the original, like Hebrew and Greek. Suppose there are in the city 50 righteous. Will you destroy the place and not spare it for the sake of the 50 righteous in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as do the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth execute judgment and do righteously? So here again, we see Abraham standing in the gap, pleading for the possible righteous that were in the city. And the Lord said, if I find in the city of Sodom 50 righteous, upright in right standing with God, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham answered, behold now, I who am dust and ashes have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord, or Yahweh. So again, we see Abraham approaching the Father, not in arrogance or demanding, but in humility, but again, standing in the gap. If 5 of the 50 righteous should be lacking, will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? He said, if I find 45, I will not destroy it. And Abraham spoke to him yet again and said, suppose only 40 shall be there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. Then Abraham said to him, oh, let not Yahweh be angry, and I will speak again. Suppose only 30 shall be found. And he answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And Abraham said, behold now, I have taken up myself to speak again to the Lord, or Yahweh. Suppose only 20 shall be found there. And the Lord replied, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. And he said, oh, let not Yahweh be angry, and I will speak again only this once. Suppose 10 righteous people shall be found there. And Yahweh said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And Yahweh went his way when he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. So here he is speaking face to face with Yahweh Elohim, which we believe was the pre-incarnate Yeshua. And again, we see again the example of him standing in the gap, pleading for, you know, those that who might be righteous in the city. And we know that the only one that came out was his nephew Lot and his two daughters. And again, his wife, she looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. We'll look again now at Moshe's intercession. So now I'll get this bar out of the way here. Okay, Numbers 14, 13 to 20. I'm not going to read all of the scriptures, but again, it's just an example of these men interceding on behalf of others. 14 verses 13 to 20. Actually, we'll read 13 to 19. Again, just in, again, in context. The people were rebelling. They didn't believe the good report from Joshua and Caleb. They believed the bad report. And the father in his anger was ready to judge them. But Moshe said to Yahweh, then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you brought up this people in your might among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Yahweh, are in the midst of this people of Israel, that you, Yahweh, are seen face to face, and that your cloud stands over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill all these people as one man, then the nations that have heard your fame will say, because Yahweh was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore to give them. Therefore, he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I pray you, let the power of Yahweh be great, as you have promised, saying, Yahweh is long-suffering and slow to anger, and abundant in mercy and loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I pray you, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your mercy and loving kindness, just as you've forgiven them from Egypt until now. So again, we see an example. And again, in Exodus 32, 10 to 14, he is also making intercession. Again, standing in the gap, pleading before God. Again, Abraham, Moshe, Daniel, they all had close relationships with the Father. They knew of his mercy. And again, they come before him respectively, but again, ask for his mercy in these situations. Exodus 32, 10 to 14. Now, therefore, let me alone, okay, this is Yahweh speaking, that my wrath may be burned hot against them, that I may destroy them, but I will make you a great nation. When Moshe sought the Lord, or Yahweh his Elohim, and said, Yahweh, why does your wrath blaze hot against your people, whom you brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, for evil he brought them forth to slay them in the mountains and consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and change your mind concerning this evil against your people. And then we see in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel interceding and again confessing the sins, of Israel and coming before the Father, again praying for mercy and loving kindness. Again, the whole chapter is Daniel's, and it's a great chapter, so please read it. Standing in the gap for God's people and actually confessing their sins, identifying with, again, the sins of Israel, confessing them before God, talking about the law of Moses. And from that prayer and intercession, we see that Gabriel brings an answer. So let's look at just the last few verses, beginning with Daniel 9:16. O Yahweh, according to all your righteousness and justice, I beseech you, let your anger and your wrath be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach and a byword to all who are round about us. Now, therefore, O our Elohim, listen to and heed the prayer of your servant Daniel and his supplications for your own sake, cause your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my Elohim, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and look at our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you for our own righteousness and justice, but for your great mercy and loving kindness. O Yahweh, hear. O Yahweh, forgive. O Yahweh, give heed and act. Do not delay for your own sake, O my Elohim, because your city and your people are called by your name. And we see God sending Gabriel in response to, again, Daniel's prayer. While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before Yahweh, my Elohim, for the holy hill of my Elohim. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the former vision, being caused to fly swiftly, came near to me and touched me about the time of the evening service. He instructed me and made me understand. He talked with me and said, O Daniel, I now come forth to give you skill and wisdom and understanding. At the beginning of your prayers, the word, giving an answer, went forth. And I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. And we see in, again, he's making intercession. And we see as he's making intercession, God brought the answer through the angel Gabriel. When I heard this, again, this is Nehemiah, again, hearing about the desolation of Jerusalem and the remnant that were there, the great trouble and reproach that was happening. In verse 4, it says, when I heard this, I sat down, wept, and mourned for days, and fasted and prayed constantly before the God of heaven. So here again, we see these great men of God making intercession for God's people. Just want to go on now. So just like a note, okay, we have no authority over a person's will or decisions. God gives every man a free will, but we can pray for them to be open to the word and to send laborers across their path. So again, intercession makes a way for God to work, for, again, the angels to work, for, you know, the word to work in their life. You know, we can't go, you know, God will not even override somebody's will. We need to pray the word and pray in the Ruach or the Spirit. And again, trusting, again, that the act of prayer is an act of faith. When you pray, you know that the Father is hearing you because you're approaching the throne in the name of Yeshua, based on his righteousness and your righteousness before the Father being a redeemed people. And that according to the promises of the word, he hears our prayers. So we have to have faith in the prayers we are praying that the Father hears us, but it's always, the answers are always in the Father's timing. So let's look at some other scriptures. So the effect and power of the intercessor, filling the gap. One of the best examples in the Bible of the work and power of the intercessor is found in Ezekiel 22, verse 30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. That's a New King James Version. True intercession always comes before the Lord on behalf of others. In the same scripture, we also see the twofold significance of the intercessor, responsibility and power. He or she would create a spiritual wall. This suggests that they would restore a breach or an opening caused by an enemy. They would also stand in the gap or plug up that breach against the enemy throughout the building or restoration process. Job 9:33-44 gives us the Tanakh picture of what that means. He cried out, if only there were someone to arbitrate or mediate between us, to lay his hand upon us both, building the bridge, someone to remove God's rod from us so that his terror would frighten me no more. Galatians 4:19 shows us a New Testament example of one of the most powerful intercessors, Shaul, who said, my little children for whom I labor in birth or intercession until Messiah is formed in you or till the process is done. So again, we know that all the apostles were intercessors and men of God who prayed. Changing the land and saving the people. God is a righteous God and due to his righteous character, he has to judge sin. However, his desire is not destruction, but blessing. Ezekiel 22:30, again, on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. Numbers 16:47-48 and Exodus 32:9-11 illustrate the power of one man intervening between life and death to stop destruction. And this is actually referring to Pinchas. So let's just pull up that scripture there. Number 16, 47 to 48. So Aaron took the burning censer. Oh, actually, this is Aaron. Sorry, I'm thinking of a different scripture. As Moses commanded, and ran in the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. So again, the one of the roles of the priesthood was to make intercession and stand in the gap. And that incense, that censer and fire, came off the altar of incense where prayer is offered up to Yahweh. And then Exodus 32, 9 to 11. Again, this is regarding the golden calf incident. beginning with verse 9. And Yahweh said to Moshe, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and that I may destroy them. But I will make of you a great nation. But Moshe besought the Lord his God, or Yahweh his Elohim, and said, Yahweh, why does your wrath blaze hot against your people, whom you have brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? So again, here we see Moshe standing in the gap as an intercessor. Let's go back to the PowerPoint here. So how does it work practically? Intercession has a flow out of a relationship with Yahweh Elohim. So again, the more time we spend with the Father, the more time we become sensitive to his voice and pray in the Spirit and pray the word. Again, more we will flow in, again, that anointing of an intercession and standing in the gap. Is not something we switch on and off like a light bulb. It's not a, quote, prayer meeting with a few prayer requests. It's a lifestyle. It is not trying to convince God to act. It is joining with Yeshua as he has already prayed before the Father. And we see that in Romans 8:34. Again, the word says that Yeshua is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So I just want to get my Bible in front of me, because again, it's easier than flipping back and forth. Okay, Romans. Let's just go to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to look at verse 34. Again, I'm reading out of the Amplified. I like using this when I'm studying about prayer or doing devotionals. Okay, verse 34. Who is the one who condemns us? Messiah Yeshua is the one who died to pay our penalty, and more than that, who was raised from the dead and who is at the right hand of Yahweh, interceding with the Father for us. Intercession is partnership with Messiah in what he is praying already, giving us the privilege to join him in what he does. Verse 28, verse 27. And he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit, or the Ruach, intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will. So again, we have our prayer partner, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of Yahweh Elohim, that abides within us as believers. And the Ruach is there to help, again, help us to pray and intercede, show us what to pray about, show us how to pray about that situation and how to, again, stand in the gap and make intercession for others. Intercession is not performance in prayer or dependent how long we pray or what methods we are using. Again, we see the examples of the men of God who came before us in the Tanakh, how, again, their intercession was really a conversation with the Father, again, respectively, but again, standing in the gap, pleading for those, who were guilty. But, you know, pleading for, again, the righteous among them, not to judge everybody because the acts of a few. And again, it's not performance. It's not, you know, if putting on a show, it's prayer from the heart through the Ruach. And yes, sometimes it can become intense because you're, again, praying in the spirit, praying the word, and sometimes you're feeling what people are going through, and you feel that pain, you feel that grief of the Father. You, again, as you're praying and interceding, it is praying what is on the mind of the Ruach of Yahweh Elohim. So again, back to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know with great confidence that Yahweh, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. So again, we need to know that when we're interceding and praying, that again, that God's perfect will be done. Why? Because we know that he causes all things to work together for good for those who love him, love the Father, love Yahweh Elohim. Again, that's an act of prayer and faith, that as we are praying and we are interceding and we are standing in the gap. And sometimes we don't know the whole situation. We don't know the whole timing, because sometimes a person's will is involved, especially when you're praying for the lost. Sometimes you don't know what the Father's perfect will is for a situation. So again, I always tell people, pray in the spirit and pray the word. And if you don't know, you know, somebody say, well, please, you know, pray this or for me, and you don't exactly know how to pray, I always say, well, Father, may your perfect will be done in that person's life. True prayer starts in the heart of the Father, Abba. Yahweh Elohim made full provision. He prepared a channel or a way via Yeshua through the Ruach HaKodesh in us by praying in the name of Yeshua. Again, Yeshua said, when we pray in his name. We pray in his authority. I always pray Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua the Messiah, Yeshua in heaven before the Father. Again, back to Romans 8, verse 34. Who will bring any charge against God's elect, his chosen one? It is God who justifies us, declaring us blameless and putting us in a right standing relationship with himself. Who is the one who condemns us? Messiah Yeshua is the one who died to pay our penalty, and more than that, who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of the Father, interceding with the Father for us. And then Hebrews 7:25. And again, one of the biggest battles you are going to encounter is when you want to pray. Because why? Because the enemy will, you know, cause distractions. Maybe sometimes cause you to be tired and want to sleep. But again, when I was, you know, spending time interceding with these, you know, these women, they just really, you know, just inspired me about the importance of us, again, becoming intercessors, even in a stronger way. Therefore, he is able also to save forever, completely, perfectly, for eternity, those who come to Yahweh through him, who, Yeshua, since he always lives to intercede and intervene on their behalf, and meaning us, with Yahweh. The Ruach HaKodesh in us and through us. So again, here we see that Yahweh made full provision. He prepared a channel via Yeshua and through the Ruach HaKodesh in us. Yeshua in heaven, again, is before the Father interceding for us. The Ruach HaKodesh on earth in and through us. Romans 8, 26 and 28. So let's just look at that again, back to Romans chapter 8, which again speaks a lot about intercession and prayer. You know, and again, when I was interceding with these women, I felt, you know, the enemy was trying to make me feel like, you know, oh, you're not, you know, as anointed as they are, you know, what are you doing here? You know, what makes you think that, you know, that you've got the anointing and power that they have? So he's like intimidating me before it was my time to intercede. And I just prayed. I said, Father, anoint my lips. Ruach HaKodesh, just speak through me. Let my words be the words you want me to speak, you know. And I was just, you know, casting down those thoughts and imaginations and accusations. And when my time came, again, the Ruach just flowed through me, showed me what prayers to pray, what scriptures to pray. And again, it went fine. Romans 8, 26 to 28. Why? Because I was trusting him to fill my mouth and be led by the Ruach in prayer. So verse 26, in the same way, the Spirit or Ruach comes to us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Ruach himself knows our need at the right time and intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Ruach is, because the Ruach intercedes before Yahweh on behalf of Yahweh's people in accordance with Yahweh's will. And we know with great confidence that Yahweh, who is deeply concerned about us, again causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love Yahweh and to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. And again, you know, that's another area we need to submit ourselves to his plan and his purpose. The Greek word for helps is soon antilambanomi. Soon means together, anti against, labano to take hold of. So again, the Ruach again takes hold. Again, he knows what needs to be prayed. He works with us and again helps us as we're interceding, as we're praying. That is why it's so important to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, to receive that gift of speaking in tongues. Again, it's a supernatural gift. It's to help us to pray. It's to help us to intercede. We need it in our life as a believer. So don't let the enemy talk you out of it, because some people say, oh, well, that's been done away with, or, you know, that's not of God. Well, that's a lie, because it's all through the New Testament. Three things they made sure once. First, the person was born again. They were immersed mikvah in water, and then they made sure they were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh as well, with that prayer language. When you start to feel a burden or need, or a person comes to your mind or thoughts, be assured Yeshua and the Ruach HaKodesh are already praying for that person. And making you his prayer partner in prayer, you can affect that life partnership with Messiah according to his design and purpose for that person. You know, so there's, you know, many times maybe a person will come to your mind, their name, you know, maybe somebody you haven't seen for a long time. Or you, God puts somebody on your heart. Well, when he does that, then he's asking us to join with him in prayer and intercession for that person. So again, we say, Father, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to pray in the Ruach. And Ruach, if you show me what it is, then I just pray it forth. And I'm just standing in the gap, because I don't know what that person's going through, but you do. And I thank you, Father, that you have called me to take hold with you to pray for that person. Through our prayers, we cannot control people to do as we wish, but we can pray that Yahweh Elohim's will into their lives and affect them that way. Again, praying that their heart would be open to the truth. And this isn't just, you know, the lost, you know, because there's a different way when we intercede for those who don't know him versus interceding for those who do know him. But either way, we are praying and interceding. We are standing in the gap. Okay, and again, we'll look at more what spiritual warfare is next week. Again, intercession is also being a peacemaker. James 3:18. And again, There's some great, and we have a prayer book that has some traditional Jewish prayers in the beginning and then all scripture prayers throughout the book to help you in intercession, to help you know how to pray and what to pray. And as you're praying those scriptures, you know, you'll find yourself, the more you're praying them, the more they just start coming out of your spirit. As you're praying for somebody, that those words, those scriptures will just come up in your spirit as and you speak them forth. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness, spirit maturity, is sown in peace or shalom by those who make peace shalom by actively encouraging goodwill between individuals. Again, praying, intercession again is being a peacemaker, standing in the gap. For others. Some more spiritual insight and intercession. So let's look at some of these scriptures. Psalm 106, 30 to 31. You know, again, there's times where we don't know how to pray or what to pray. Then we pray in the Ruach HaKodesh, and whereas we're praying in the Spirit, the Ruach will start showing you, give you direction on what needs to be prayed as well. I've had that happen to me several times. And again, if I don't get anything, I just pray, Father, I just pray your perfect will be done in their life. Okay, Psalm 106, 30 to 31. Let's make sure. Okay, this is a scripture that's talking about Phinehas, who was a priest. In the Aaronic priesthood, and it's referring back to the plagues and the sins of Israel. So let me go back in context here. verse 27, and he would cast out their descendants among the nations and scatter them in the lands of the earth. They joined themselves also to the idol Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their practices, and a plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas, the priest, stood up and interceded, and so the plague was halted. So he stood in the gap. And then Numbers 25, 11 to 13. And again, you grow in intercession. You become stronger in intercession by interceding. Okay, Numbers 25, 11 to 13. Again, this is referring to going back and referring to Phinehas. We'll begin in verse 10. Then Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my wrath away from the Israelites, because he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so I did not destroy the Israelites in my jealousy. And then Ezekiel 9:4. Yahweh said to him, go through the midst of the city and throughout all Jerusalem and put a mark. I'm sorry, that's the wrong scripture. Let's see, Ezekiel 9, verse 4. Okay, I'm going to start with verse 1 so it's in context here. Then again, this is Ezekiel. Then in my vision, I heard him cry out with a thunderous voice, saying, approach now, executioners of the city, each with his weapon of destruction in his hand. Behold, six men, angelic beings, came forth from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand, and among them was a certain man clothed in linen, with a scribe's writing case at his side. They entered and stood beside the bronze altar. Then the Shekinah, glory and brilliance of Yahweh of Israel, went up from the cherubim in which it had rested to stand above the threshold of Yahweh's temple. And Yahweh called to the man clothed with linen, who had the scribe's writing case at his side. Then Yahweh said to him, go through the midst of the city throughout all of Jerusalem and put a mark on the forehead of the men who sigh in distress and grieve over the repulsive acts which are being committed in it. So here he's setting apart those that are, I guess, really groaning in the spirit, grieving over the sins that are happening, and God marks them or sets them apart from the judgment that is to come. The harvest of intercession. Matthew 9:35-38. We'll open with that scripture. Again, this is just the beginning. I'm, again, laying a foundation, and I'm going to be building on it. Again, this came about because the conversation we were having on Shabbat. So I thought it was better to kind of do a study and give a more, you know, to kind of cover those questions, because they were great questions, you know, and go over our authority, what intercession is, what our role is in standing in the gap. Matthew 9:35-38. Just a